Talk Show.
Recorded live.
What up, people? This is Speak It Like You Think It Radio. I'm your host, Naj, joined by one member of the All-Star cast this week. We're waiting on Gordon to come in later. But with nothing else to be said on that, man, I'm joined tonight by fantasy football genius, official like a ref with a whistle, the great James Roberts. What up, James?
Yo, what's up, Naj, man? Coming in here tonight. Lazy sports night. And stuff,
indeed,
man. So it's so lazy, man. I'm flossing my teeth on it.
Indeed, I understand, man. Hey.
It's your boy.
Can't forget that. Hey, I mean, I'm trying to get into this Miami Indiana game, but I really can't. So I'm just kind of watching it off to the side while I'm surfing the web. Even if they do somehow pull this game out, LeBron's on the bench right now with 5 fouls going into the fourth quarter. So Indy has a good shot. Do you even think about there's the remotest possibility that Indy can win in Miami a game 6?
No.
Okay. As long as we good with that.
The Heat, if you haven't noticed, have turned it up to another level in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Sweep in round 1, 5 games in round 2. And depending upon what the networks and the referees – oh, did I say that? I'm sorry. What they want to do, they might get 5. They really want 6, but Miami prefer to have 5 so they don't get that rest of that. OKC, San Antonio might go 6.
Yeah, 6 or 7 on that series. I agree on that one. But either way, we both agree that Miami is going to move on. Indiana played all year talking about we need home court advantage so we can win a game 7 against Miami. And it's putting the cart before the horse, man. You need to have your team playing at optimal level in the playoffs. You don't need to be making these silly-ass goals about a game 7. How about just we'll beat them? How about that?
This is where that Danny Granger trade is hurting.
Yeah,
he can't hurt. I mean, he wasn't doing a regular season. He wasn't as effective, but this is where he would have been a big help to him right now. Because when I look out on the court and I look at the Pacers, they don't have any shooters.
Yeah.
They don't open the lane up. Lance Stevenson's not consistent. Paul George is not a consistent shooter. And when I think about the Indiana Pacers, I can't think of anyone on their roster who is a consistent or pure shooter. Oh, that guy was Danny Granger, and they let him go.
Yeah, and then I don't know if it was more Evan Turner coming to the team or more losing Danny Granger as far as that situation. But it seems like Evan Turner kind of threw off their chemistry and messed up the rotation for a while when he was getting minutes, but wasn't as productive as they thought he would be. And now it's to the point to where, I mean, he's barely getting clocked now.
Well, see, they realize that Evan Turner has the same skill set as Paul George. They thought they needed more defense to try and guard LeBron. But you can't guard LeBron. You got to try to outscore the Heat. So they needed more shooting. And if they had more shooting, that will open the lane up for Roy Hibbert to play better. That will open the lane up for Paul George to try and go ahead and slash to the basket and do some things and open stuff up for other people. And because they don't have that shooter that they need, what they should have tried to do, if they got rid of Danny Granger, they should have tried to bring in Mike Miller.
Now that
would have been something.
Yeah, it would have been tough, though, because I think Memphis knew they really needed them. You know how bad they are shooting. So that would have been a tough one, but that would have been an answer. It's like you can't blame Larry Bird for improving the team if you're the coach, if you're Frank Vogel. But at the same time, I mean, Evan Turner and Andrew Bynum, that probably didn't do the best for that locker room as far as everybody getting along, if you know what I mean. So
yeah.
He did put him in a tough situation. Even though I'm not the biggest Frank Vogel fan, I think Spoelstra's done a much better job than he has throughout this series of kind of switching and changing up lineups and, you know, figuring out what works. So I think Vogel's been a little slow with that.
Spoelstra is turning into what they call a great coach as he watches adjustments during a game and during a series.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Vogel, I think he's a pretty good coach, but he's just not, I'm not going to say he's not getting the most out of his players, but some of the adjustments, like some of the trades and stuff, I think the trade really hurt him more than anything. The Evan Turner, he'll probably come in to be better next year, but like I say, him and Paul George pretty much have the same skill set.
Right. No, I agree with that 100, man. I don't know what it was, but somehow that stuff just did not work out in the right way. I guess this is what we expected in the East. We expected Indiana, Miami. We expected a tougher series than what we got, but either way, this is what we expected. Moving on to the West, though. San Antonio, OKC. Man, the only thing I can say about this series before we even get into to how it's been played, people lose two games on the road and people start talking about the series was over. San Antonio won the first two games at home and people said, oh, Oklahoma City's done. It's over. I'm thinking, have these people ever watched the NBA playoffs? Like, winning two games at home means nothing. Can I get your take?
Well, the main thing about that is Serge Ibaka has not been playing.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tim Duncan has been running wild. Manu Ginobili has been running wild. Tony Parker has been running wild. Everybody running wild in the lane. When Serge Ibaka came back, I noticed a difference in San Antonio's play as far as driving the lane. He slowed all that down. Something else I noticed was in the first two games, San Antonio was playing team ball. They was making the extra pass, 3, 4, 5, 6 passes and stuff. That first game three, they were running down and just jacking shots. No pass. Didn't even look to pass. Running down there to the three-point line and jacking shots. And they were still in the game. And then they messed around and they kept doing that in the third quarter and shot themselves out of the game. And I was like, this isn't how Greg Popovich's team normally play. And then I compared that to the Hawks, which is running the same system. I compared that with the Spurs in game one and game two. They were killing OKC with the extra pass. And they got away from that in that game three and just ran down the court. I'm a jack a shot that I like to call that Paul Pierce hero ball.
Yeah. Well, I guess one of the big things with it, as you said, Serge didn't play those first two games, is when you get a new guy into a lineup that's used to playing with each other, a lot of times your rotations are a little off. And those first two games in San Antonio, it looked like Oklahoma City's rotations were off. And like you said, they were getting those extra passes to where it looked like, you know, it was Harlem Globetrotter stuff in the lane where they was passing it one big to the next big for a layup and just, you know, they were constantly one step ahead of OKC. So I think they just really lost a big link in that chain of their rotation without Serge. And then he comes back these two games in Oklahoma City, and he's blocking shots. Rotations are crisp. people are catching the ball and looking for him as far as San Antonio, looking over their shoulder. They don't know what to do. And, yeah, I can give it up. I got to give it up to Surge, man. And he was a huge factor.
Well, Surge is the new Tim Duncan. He's not quite at the Tim Duncan when he was at that stage, but he's better than the Tim Duncan he is right now. So,
well, Tim Duncan was 18 years in the league, something like that.
Yeah. So Surge is a new Tim Duncan.
You gotta give me somebody different. You gotta give me some kind of defender, though, man. You can't say Timmy, because young Timmy was 30-15 on people, damn near every night. You gotta give me some defender, some shot blocker.
Well, let me see. You could probably go with Kevin Willis, maybe.
Yeah, Kevin Willis, Spider Sally, or somebody. Yeah, one of those guys. He's serious down there, though.
I would say. I'd probably say Kevin Willis would probably be a good one. And like I said, he's not quite at the level that Tim Duncan was at his age, because I think Tim Duncan is still more advanced than him at his age.
And will forever be. As much as I love Surge, he'll never be that.
But Surge is better than Tim Duncan is now.
Yep.
And that's the problem that they're having.
Yeah.
Because he comes out there, he brings that extra energy, and he brings that defensive presence. So they're just.
And just that ability, man. Because remember, that first, I think it was game one, Tim Duncan had 21 at half. So he was just doing what he wanted down there in that lane.
Yeah.
Surge come back.
Anything at all.
Right. Surge come back, it's a different story. But, I mean, we can't talk about this without talking about the guy. Last night, 40-10-5, hashtag zero appreciation on Twitter. If you don't know, please look it up. The great Russell Westbrook putting in work.
Well, we never said that Russell Westbrook can't play. And Russell Westbrook isn't a great player. I just said, when you go down the court, ball needs to touch Kevin Durant hand at least one time. Don't just run down the court and jack shots.
Yeah, I agree. You need to look for KD more. Ooh, shoot.
So,
oh, he blew it. And LeBron just did a nice little move and blew the layup.
So that's what we say about him. When he runs down the court, nobody down the court but him. And two or three defenders until you try to take everybody, miss the layup, and don't get fouled. And then he wonders why everybody talks about him. Then he runs down the court. And
yeah.
He gets – he jacks up a three-pointer and don't even look at KD. Don't even look at anybody else. I mean, dude, you the point guard.
No, I agree.
And I was saying what Scott Brooks should have done is move Reggie Jackson to the point and move for the series and move Russell Westbrook over to the two. But the problem is they need Reggie Jackson running with their second unit. But I also, another thing I was suggesting too is run Russell Westbrook with that second unit.
Hey, man, Russell ain't playing with no second unit, man. That's Russie G. Played 46 minutes last night. Let me ask you this, though. Knowing what you know, watching them, healthy Derrick Rose, Russell Westbrook. Not as easy as it was a couple years ago as far as that choice now, right? If you had to pick one.
Let me see. If I had to pick one, at this point, I had to go with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much because he's playing. D. Rose ain't played in 2 years.
Uh-huh.
So,
even healthy, though, it's still a tough decision. Even with the healthy D. Rose, that's a tough decision, man.
Well, like I say, both of them are point guards. I think I'm not sure. I think they're both about the same height.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think about I had to go with Westbrook. I can't even remember how Rose played.
It's like, yeah. You ain't seen Rose in a minute. It's like Rose is a better ball handler and a better shooter. Russell is way more – Russell's more explosive than even D. Rose is, which is saying something.
Yeah, because I think he's faster than Derrick Rose would.
I think so, too.
But I think Rose at that time before the injuries might have had more – explosion toward the basket.
Yeah, that's a tough one there. I don't know. I was going to say we'll never know, but hell, maybe we'll see. Maybe D. Rose will get that thing together as far as the injury bug. But either way, man, we got OKC, San Antonio 2-2 headed back to San Antonio. You said you see this series going six. Which way you leaning, man?
I'm going with OKC. It's going to be a repeat of 2 years ago.
I would agree with you on everything except the repeat part. I think OKC takes Miami this year. I think Miami can be had, and I think OKC does it.
I don't think they're going to take
it out there.
I don't think they're going to take OKC. See, because I don't think OKC is going to take Miami. They're going to lose again. And it's going to come down to the one particular matchup of LeBron against KD. And I see the same thing happening.
See LeBron going back down low again?
Yeah, he's going back down low. When they had KD playing the power forward, he was getting pushed around. Tim Duncan taking him to school like he
yeah.
was like, oh, I got KD on me. Oh, let me move this little lightweight out.
Barbecue chicken. What's your boy Shaq say?
Barbecue chicken.
Yeah.
So,
KD don't want none of that post life, man. I agree on that. Which is crazy, though, because once he gets into that post life, it's over.
Yeah. Well,
talking chips
got,
on chips
he
on chips.
We still got to gain some more weight.
Mm-hmm.
He still has to gain some more weight. And that's the weight and strength. So that's a hard hurdle for him.
Lance Stevenson is blowing hot air on LeBron. He's trying to do anything he can to get that sixth foul. He took a crazy flop a little bit ago. He's doing everything he can to get that boy out the game, man. Shout out to Lance, man. Hustle hard, homie. Yeah. Hustle hard.
Well, I mean, you talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. As my man Rich Flair say, woo!
Yes,
and
sir.
He was talking the talk, but he went walking the walk, went out there and got schooled. And mm-hmm. I saw a couple of questionable calls that probably could have gone the Pacers way. But when you're in the playoffs, they don't call that stuff as strict as they do in the regular season.
Yeah.
In the regular season, they call all that ticky-tack stuff because the regular season don't really matter.
And plus, you can't get the other team 20 points off turnovers and then cry. You
yeah.
know what I'm saying? Like, man, you just can't do that, man. You got to take care of the ball. But we'll see, man. Either way, both of us are predicting the Miami-Oklahoma City finals. So we'll see if that plays out or if the Spurs can kind of ruin that. Either way, some good basketball being played. Let's move to off the court real quick. Just because, man, people thought that it was over, but they don't know Crazy like I know Crazy. Crazy never sits down early. Crazy always push stuff to the limit. So we have Donald Sterling. People thought he was just going to go ahead and do the sale and kind of bow out gracefully, but hell no. Nah. He's coming with both guns blazing. He got his lawyers together to write up as much BS as they could, and they just decided they're going to make this painful for Adam Silver and the NBA. How do you think they respond to Sterling still trying to fight this?
Well, they're going to have to go ahead and go through the formalities because they could potentially lose their whole league next year. If LeBron get enough players together to be like, we're not going to play because this man is still on in his team. And I know some of the lower-tier players, they probably would have a problem with it, but there's enough high-profile players in the NBA to take care of those lower-tier players. So they could potentially lose the whole league. And 80% of your league is African American.
Yeah.
It's not more than that. So
yeah, I think the potential of a player boycott is kinda out there. But I think the bigger thing is the sponsorships. I think the idea of turning off sponsors by having Sterling around is what's driving this more than anything. I think they're like, look, you're not about to mess up this money for the rest of us, dude. You got to get out of here. We didn't toss you out the boat, and you can try to climb back in all you want to, but we're about to hit you with this paddle. you can't ride with us.
The only thing I can hook that up with is, remember Marv shot with the Cincinnati Reds?
Right. Yep. She thought she was going to keep her team, too.
Man, that chick, she just kept saying that stuff.
And as I tried to bang on when this story came out, the issues are not based off just his comments. The issues are his past history. So when people can look him up in Google and see all the things he's done and some of the things he said, that's when it hurts your league. It's not just those comments. It's just the fact that he has this particular background. And USA Today did a story on him last week about how some of those homes he owns in L.A. are still in his mother's name, and he's been using his sister to pay the taxes on it to act like his mother still owns it, so the property never gets reassessed by tax evaluators. And that's saving him, upwards of $10,000 a year because he's still paying the tax rate from damn near the 60s. So
if I can get away with it, I get away with it too.
Yeah, but this is the thing. When you want to go toe-to-toe with other billionaires, they're going to start leaking out all your dirt to every journalist that they can find, and before you know it, there's hit pieces and stories out on you every week. And a dude like Donald Sterling with this many skeletons in his closet, he can't handle this, man. Too much dirt.
My man said he's 87 years old. He's worth $1.9 billion. And I'm gonna do what the heck I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what money I'll say. And matter of fact, when the season starts, my band is officially over with, as far as I'm concerned. He's gonna need to tell security that I pay to keep me from coming into my building that I own.
Oh, he ain't getting in that building. I guarantee you that he ain't getting in that building. But just looking at some of the paperwork that he gave this last time. He said he's had offers of $2.9 billion for the Clippers. Now, there's a point of making a ridiculous, statement or whatever, but when you get to that kind of stretching of the truth, man, the Dallas Cowboys ain't worth $2.9 billion. You trying to tell me the L.A. Clippers are worth $2.9 billion? Man, get the hell out of here.
Well, he might forget that because all he had to do is make it a bid.
Man, he ain't getting no 2.9. That's crazy. I mean, it's barely 1 billion. Ain't no way he getting no 2.
Well, he's not going to get no 2.9. He's probably getting 1 billion. I can see him probably getting 1 billion for the team.
And that's off the strength of that Lakers TV deal. So whoever does the Clippers thinking they're going to get a, kind of similar deal. But
they are in prime location.
Yep.
In prime location, in a prime market with high profile players.
Mm-hmm.
And the team's actually in a good position as far as coaching and talent.
Yeah. And in that market, if you're willing to spend the money, you can always be good. They were just bad for so many years because a part of Donald Sterling's legacy was he wouldn't pay anybody. So he let all types of talent walk out the door to other teams. But if somebody wants to spend a little money, yeah, you can always be good out there in L.A. Because you got the revenue, you've created a fan base now. So it can be done. But it ain't no damn $2.9 billion.
But they've always had a fan base, and the reason is you can't get in them Laker games, and Laker games are so expensive. So
yeah.
That's the game you can go and take your kids to.
What was that unfunny comedian, the old dude? Since Jack was the Laker guy, he decided he was going to be Clipper guy.
Billy Crystal.
Billy Crystal, right. He's always been there.
Yeah, he's been unfunny for a long time. I still don't see how he made all that money.
Yeah, me
that's
either,
another
man.
Story,
yeah. Yeah. Well, moving into another owner, former Milwaukee Bucks owner, ex-Senator Herb Kohl, he decided to pay everybody who worked for the Milwaukee Bucks at the stadium. He sent them a check for $500, man, after selling the team, man. So shout out to him, man. Not all owners are terrible people out here in these streets.
Yeah, that's a very nice gesture. All the money he made, though, he still could have sent him $1,000.
What'd you say?
I said, all that money, he should have still sent him $1,000.
Yeah, he hit that lotto ball, because I think, what, he hit him for $550
million? Yeah, $550. You can't send everybody $1,000. Matter of fact, he could send everybody $10.
Oh, now you're going far. Now you're going a little far there.
Shoot. About how many employees? About 100 employees.
I'm not even sure, bro. I should have looked that part up, but I didn't. Either way, man,
yeah.
Nice gesture. Good to see.
Yeah, it was a nice gesture, though, because the majority of owners, man, pretty much all the owners wanted to done that.
Right. They wouldn't give you a damn thing.
Nope.
Kent Bryan out here begging for calls. I guess we can look at this. All right. Well, no, I don't even want to go into the lotto. Let me just ask you this: when you saw Cleveland get that number one pick again, you said what? Because we didn't record last week after the draft lottery.
I said, "What's the owner name for the Cleveland?" Dan Gilbert. I put a heck of a deal together with the committee. When he got out there complaining about everything. And then the commissioner was like, okay, he's gonna get you the number one pick. He's like, I need the next 4 out of 5. At first I thought it was gonna be wind up being the Lakers or the Celtics, and then I saw that, I was like, they're gonna go say that heck of a deal.
Right. That junk crazy. They got another number one pick. So we'll see how this goes, man, if there's some kind of Cleveland bad luck going around out here to where we see Joel Embiid, who's the projected number one pick, see if he holds up and doesn't have this injury history people are scared of.
Who's that?
The 7-footer from Kansas, Embiid.
Man, if he get that dude, that'll be like that same dude, Michael Jordan thing.
You don't think that kid is good, man. He only been hooping for like 2 years. You don't trust him.
He's a white boy, right?
Yeah, he kind of light. No. It's a black African dude. Skinny, 7-footer. Pretty skilled, though. Dribble the ball a little bit. Score with both hands. He needs to put
like
some weight on.
Like I say, if he do that, that'd be equivalent to that Sam boy, Michael Jordan. Draft. You better go with Anthony Wiggins or Jabari.
Andrew Wiggins or Jabari. Yeah. I mean, that's the tough thing of this draft right here, because everybody looks at that 7-footer so highly that, you know, you might miss out on one of these two swingmen that end up being better than what we even thought they would be, because everybody thinks they'll be all-stars, but if one of them ends up an all-timer, you messed up.
Well, my thing is, with this particular guy, it's only there's only about four guys in the draft that I was like, that I want. And then when I looked at Cleveland, the way Cleveland has been assembled, they have power forward. They drafted the center. And I'm thinking that they're going to have to go with the swing man. Because they've been rotating swing man. They've been rotating, what's the guy's name?
Deion Waiters.
They've been rotating the guy from the Lakers last year. What was that guy's name? Because he's like the only good guy the Lakers had, and they let him go.
From the Lakers, swinging. Not even sure. Yeah. I'm not even sure who you mean.
He's on the Lakers last year, man. Young kid. They had like three guys that been rotating in between the shooting guard and the small forward side and whatever. And that's the only way I can see them going. They have to go with one of them swings. And I think that'd be the best bet because the only guys I want is Parker. I wanted Hawk to be out of Parker or Wiggins or Daniel or the kid from Arizona.
Yeah, I think he's a sleeper of this draft, man, because, you know, he's athletic as hell, and ain't no telling what he could turn out to be. He could be a dude who never gets a position, or he could be Sean Marion.
Sean Marion don't have no jumper. He has a push shot.
Yeah, but he hit a lot of push shot threes during his career, man.
Yeah, he hit a lot of them. He has a push shot. And he doesn't have a pure stroke. He started when he was little.
Yeah, but remember this, though. The thing that made Sean Marion so valuable was his ability to play the three and four. In Phoenix, the reason they got to play so fast was Marion played the four and was guarding guys a lot bigger than him. And, you know, he made it possible for them to run. Then he goes to Dallas and helps them win the chip by just being a glue guy. So, yeah, you never know with that Gordon kid, man. I think he's a good prospect.
Yeah, I like the Gordon kid. I don't know how he can get up there. One of them four.
Big shot, Bosch.
Might need to move Al Horford to try to get up there.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we might see Al move finally, man.
It's not that I don't like Al Horford. It's just that.
Rashawn Lewis just hit a tray to bring it to one.
Oh, what a block. Oh, I'm behind you.
Oh, yeah. Whoa, that's a big sequence right there. Somebody tried to get a layup for no reason and got their shot blocked.
Man.
Instead of dribbling the clock out. So this Miami Indy game is going down to the wire, man. We're going to see how it's going to play out.
Yeah, you did.
Hey, you might be right here. Might see a little Ray Allen magic at the end of this one. I didn't really have too much written down as far as scripting, man. So I wanted to go to your parting shot. I'll throw mine, and we can go ahead and get out of here, man. Looks like Gordon ain't going to be able to make it.
Okay.
Yeah, we already hitting on the time anyway.
I'll go ahead and talk about my man Sean Lee. Went down with Sean ACL and OTA. He probably is our best player on the team. So it's going to be a lot of chances for people to step up on the team and be able to make plays and get some playing time. And to all the haters that are happy that Sean Lee went down, that's why we got the offensive lineman so he can open it up and bomb y'all asses out.
There we go. I hear you, man. And for all that talk about how there was going to be no contact in OTAs and all this, it's sad that, you know, something like that happens. And not that it was really preventable, because you never know with stuff like that, but either way, it's still sad to see a dude go out for the season, man, right now. My middle finger once again goes to the NCAA. We'll see if this rule gets, or this, if they allow what's trying to happen in Arizona. There's a booster or alum who is trying to pay Rich Rod, the AD, and the basketball coach in stock from his gas company. He wants to put gas company stock in his gas company into their contracts. If they stay for the full 8 years, they get all of the stock, or they can cash it out. So as of right now, they have 175,000 units of this stock he has in his company.
But who stays for the full 8 years?
If the Rich Rodriguez and the basketball coach and AD, if they stay and fulfill the contract, they would get this stock.
Okay. Keep them from going somewhere else.
Yeah.
With more prestige.
Yeah. So same old NCAA shenanigans, man, coming up with different ways of paying certain people but not paying other people. So we'll see if they allow this, man. They have a vote on it this week. The Arizona does. So we'll have to see if they allow it, but. A new way to hustle, man. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a good hustle right there for real. That's a way to stay up on that now, as keeping the NCAA in check.
Hey, man, we trying to burn them down every chance we can, bro. You know how it go. But yeah, this is Speaking Like You Think It Radio. Me and James held it down. Maybe next week, man, we'll be back to full capacity, man. And we got all kind of crazy stuff, man. People having to work, people getting sick, everything. But we'll try to come back next week strong, man, and really lay it down for the conference finals in the NBA and start talking about this football offseason. But good luck on calling in, James. Appreciate it. We up out of here, man.
All right, peace.
All right.
All right.